evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday, January 23rd. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, right here in the Republic Broadcasting Network. Of course, I must tell you, I'm here courtesy of my favorite all-natural cure for headaches, which I think should be your favorite all-natural cure for headaches, and that's Headache Stay Gone. Check it out on the internet at headachestaygone.com. You know, sometime I could just spend a whole hour talking about this product because it's got a very interesting history and it's got a track record that very few products can beat as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, you can go into the drugstore and get all sorts of chemicals to put in your body. And not only do they occasionally solve your problem, but they give you other problems as well. Well, you won't find that case with Headache Stay Gone. Well, folks, you know, when the phone rang, I thought maybe it was the White House giving me a last-minute invitation to come to the State of the Union address tonight, but, you know, I'd rather talk to you and force you to listen to me. I guess the kind of competition I have right now is the President of the United States, who is the illegally assumed the office two times in a row, but he is president, or he's recognized as president, and I'm not. So I'm hoping that most of you have decided to turn the television off and tune in to RBN here and listen to me rant and rave rather than listen to a mass murderer rant and rave. Frankly, I should be a little bit concerned. That mass murderer and many of his followers are not too many blocks from me right now. And they come armed with lots of weapons, and they've got all sorts of plans for people like me and for people like you and for anybody who doesn't go along with their criminal agenda. But since we do have, at least as far as I know, the freedom to speak out, as I am doing right now, I intend to do it. And during the next hour, I'm going to be doing most of the talking myself here because I have an accumulation of a lot of things that I just want to bring to your attention. I'm not going to open up the phones until at least late into the second half hour here. So I might as well just go ahead and start outlining just a little bit of these little items that I've accumulated here and which I set aside over the last few nights because we had two guests. Actually, we had two guests last night, John DeNugent and James Schneider. And on Thursday and Friday, we had Jim Condit, who's familiar to many of you for his actions and activities in a lot of different realms over the past 25 years, all designed to assure the continuation of America's constitutional republic and fight off the forces of the New World Order. Now, here's something interesting, folks. Again, on this little, I have this just a variety of things I want to call to your attention because I find them interesting and I think you should find them interesting too. Now, we often talk about the corruption of the media. We know how corrupt the media is, folks. You know, it's American Free Press, the newspaper I write for on a regular basis, always says the media is the enemy. And what always has amazed me about the media is the fact that it almost seems coordinated. Both Time and Newsweek, for example, which are apparently rivals, will suddenly both have cover stories on the same subjects, even though those subjects aren't really in the front of the news. It's as though someone's pressing a button somewhere and saying, this is what the news will be. Well, you know, I'm not the first person to have noted that. Far from it. A lot of people noted it in the past, and a lot of people are going to come to recognize it on their own in the future. But we have our first break coming up, and when we come back, I'm going to read to you a very interesting paragraph from a very interesting book that talked about the phenomenon of the liberal media. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. We'll go to your calls in the second half of the hour. In the meantime, stay tuned. Listen to these commercials on RBN because they bring you news about products you need to know about.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press Newspaper, right here on Capitol Hill. I can hear the security helicopters circling over Capitol Hill right now. The guys keeping a watch, trying to make sure that outraged Americans don't storm the Capitol as they should do and do what is necessary to take out the criminal elements that are misruling this country. Well, talking about media bias, folks, we're confronted with it all the time. And, you know, last night we had a guest on the program who has written a novel. And, you know, a lot of times, and that novel, of course, is White Flight, a novel addressing the problems of uncontrolled immigration here into the United States and how Americans may end up having to leave the United States and go back to their European homelands. Hopefully that won't happen, but that was the subject of the novel that we discussed last night with the novelist. And, you know, a lot of times in political novels, you can find some real gems. And, you know, that reminded me, folks, that, you know, back in the 1950s and 1960s, there was one of your traditional conservative anti-communists named Alan Drury. He was a journalist, D-R-U-R-Y, Alan Drury. And he wrote a very famous novel called Advise and Consent, and then followed up that, and that was later made into a movie, and then later followed up that novel with a long-standing series of novels with the same characters based on Capitol Hill. You get to see the intrigue of the liberals and the conservatives. Back in the days when liberals and conservatives really were just that, those lines have been blurred in our modern day, and they really don't mean much anymore. But back in those days, they meant something. And Alan Drury's novels were very, very revealing. And, you know, what's interesting is that even though he was a conservative and an anti-communist, his novels got published and people read them. And I remember reading his book, Advise and Consent, many years ago, and his first book tells about how a left-wing pro-communist type was nominated to be Secretary of Defense. And, of course, while all the anti-communists were rallying against him, the liberal media went to work. And here's how he described it in just a few words in his book, Advise and Consent. All the vast publicity machine that always goes into concerted action for a liberal cause had gone to work. An operation so honed and smoothed and refined over the years that none of its proprietors even had to consult with one another. The instinct had been alerted. The bell had rung. The national salivations had come forth on schedule. Isn't that what we see in the national media here today in the United States? You know, we don't have a communist threat anymore, ladies and gentlemen. They've created a new enemy for us, the so-called Islamofascists. And, of course, they can't decide. One week the Saudis are our enemies. The next week the Saudis are our allies against Iran. The American people who are misled by this criminal gang, who their front man is George W. Bush, he's hardly the leader of it, however, they can count on the vast publicity machine that always goes into concerted action. It's an operation so honed and smooth and refined that none of its proprietors have to consult with one another. When their instincts are alerted, the bell is rung, the national salivations come forth on schedule. That's exactly what happened in the old days when the war was against communism, folks. But, you know, today, now that the Zionists have grabbed absolute control of the mass media, the liberal media, even the conservative media, the bells ring and they come into play. Interesting, folks. You know, times really don't change. And, you know, the mass media is so capable of misleading people and putting out stories that are not true, that these stories become part of the national psyche, part of the national legend. Now, you know, here's a good example of one of those stories, folks. We've all heard the story about how Jesse Owens, the American Olympic runner, embarrassed the Nazis at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. We always hear how Adolf Hitler snubbed Jesse Owens. Guess what, folks? It ain't true. It ain't true. There's a new book out called Triumph, The Untold Story of Jesse Owens and Hitler's Olympics. It's by Houghton Mifflin, which is an establishment media company. The author is Jeremy Schapp, who is Jewish. And according to Peter Efros, writing in the Jewish Forward, a very highly distinguished Jewish newspaper in America, the truth is that at the time, in 1936, journalists who were on the scene reported that Owens and Hitler exchanged waves after Owens won the 100-meter dash. Now, from my other reading, which I don't have handy here, I recall very specifically that Jesse Owens actually told people at the time that Hitler saluted him, and Jesse Owens was quite proud about that. And it turns out that International Olympic officials had told Hitler that he was not to honor any gold medalists in any particular way, such as by bringing them into his private box at the Olympic Stadium. Yet, over the years, the mass media in America has told this story about how the evil racist Adolf Hitler snubbed Jesse Owens. Well, it wasn't true. Evidently, if this Jewish writer, Mr. Schaff, is to be believed, evidently, Jesse Owens, in later years, when he was on the lecture circuit, did start playing up the idea that he had been snubbed by Hitler. But, in fact, Owens had said otherwise at the time. But nonetheless, I am sure that many of you have heard 100 times, if not 1,000 times, in the mass media that Adolf Hitler snubbed Jesse Owens. No, if anything, he waved to him, gave him a nod. He may have even saluted him. And I don't mean with the Hitler salute, ladies and gentlemen. I mean just with the kind of salute that you give to any winner. And Jesse Owens was quite honored to have been honored by Adolf Hitler, the meanest man in the world. Now, that's news, folks. That's news. Do you understand that? That's news. And talk about the way the mass media can manipulate the news. I open up the Washington Post book world this week. Big front page story beginning a review of a book by Robert Kagan, who is one of these pro-Israel neoconservatives. He's part of a family of a father and two sons, the Kagans. He's one of the sons who have been propagandists for Israel and who have been bound and determined to continue America being involved in wars across the world on behalf of Israel and the New World Order, which, of course, are all part and parcel of the Zionist movement. Well, it's very interesting. You know, here's this interview, or here's this review of the book, Power, Faith, and Fantasy by Michael Oren. It's reviewed by Robert Kagan. I'm sorry, Robert Kagan has written many books, but Power, Faith, and Fantasy is this new book by Michael Oren. Robert Kagan writes on and on and on about what a great book this is and demonstrates how John Quincy Adams and Thomas Jefferson and everybody else didn't like the Muslims way back when, how Americans were very distrustful of Islam. In other words, suggesting that Americans have always wanted to go to war with Islam. That's the whole theme of the book. Now, what, of course, what Mr. Kagan finally mentions about halfway down, actually almost towards the end of his review, is that the author of this book, Mr. Oren, is an Israeli historian. This is an Israeli historian being reviewed favorably by someone from the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, who is also known to be a hardline Zionist. Now, of course, you know, I guess that's a little bit of truth in packaging, but I wonder if most people are going to get the whole way through the review to find out that this particular author, Mr. Oren, actually does happen to have a certain little bias. And then, of course, the Washington Post, of course, does not mention that Mr. Kagan, although he is with the Carnegie Endowment, et cetera, et cetera, it doesn't mention that Mr. Kagan himself has a bias. So again, what we have here, we have the mass media working in conjunction. An Israeli author who hates Muslims and who wants the United States to wage war on behalf of Israel against the Muslims and against the Christian Arabs, too. This man writes a book, which is then promoted by the mass media, such as the Washington Post. And who do they get to review the book? Robert Kagan, who is a hardline pro-Israel agitator here in official Washington. So again, you know, this is how the mass media works. Just as our friend Mr. Alan Drury wrote in his book back in the 1950s. You know, they're not going to have Eustace Mullins review Michael Oren's book. They're not going to have Mark Dankoff review Michael Oren's book. Oh, of course, Mark and Eustace may review the books, but they're not going to be invited to review those books by the Washington Post. You see, again, this is how it all works, folks. You know, they put out these myths. Another good myth to refer to. Now, when Martin Luther King is annually commemorated, one of the things we always hear is that Martin Luther King gave this famous speech saying, "You declare, my friend, that you do not hate the Jews. You are merely anti-Zionist. When people criticize Zionism, they mean Jews. This is God's own truth." Well, folks, guess what? Martin Luther King never said that. That's right, folks. It's another myth. And I'm going to tell you more about that myth when we come back. It's another one of these myths that's been put out there by the mass media to distract you, to change your opinion, to mislead you. This is why we need to bust up the media monopoly in this country. And that's why we have independent media like the Republic Broadcasting Network and American Free Press.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here, talking generally tonight about the corruption of the mass media, particularly by the Zionist elements who are the prime movers behind what we generally know as the New World Order. They put out a lot of hoaxes designed to confuse and mislead. They get hoaxers to write articles in patriotic newspapers, populist newspapers, to try to confuse the readers. They infiltrate organizations with Judas goats who appear to be good journalists and good patriots when they're anything but. Well, one of the hoaxes we talked about that's been put out there for years and years is this claim that Martin Luther King was critical of those who criticized Zionism. One of the quotes is that when people criticize Zionism, they mean Jews. Make no mistake about it. Well, that quotation from Martin Luther King has been out there for years and years and years, but here's some background information on that quote. That one quote is supposed to have come from the August 1967 edition of Saturday Review. It was supposed to be in a letter to the editor by Dr. King. Well, in August of 1967, there were four editions of the Saturday Review, and no letters from Martin Luther King appeared in any of those four editions. Other people have claimed that the book was from, that the statement came from a book entitled This I Believe, Selections from the Writings of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. However, according to the information I've come across, there's no evidence that such a book was ever published. But in any case, it's not listed in a bibliography of books and materials by and about King available from the Martin Luther King Center for Social Change. Now, so basically what we have here is that letter is a hoax. And that letter, these statements by Martin Luther King, supposedly by Martin Luther King, have been used by a representative of the Anti-Defamation League in testimony before the House of Representatives. It was cited by Mortimer Zuckerman, the publisher of U.S. News and World Report. Mortimer Zuckerman, of course, is the president, former president of the Conference of Major American Jewish Organizations. Even Natan Sharansky, the ex-Soviet dissident who later went to Israel and became a hotshot hardline Zionist in Israel, he cited it in an article in Commentary, which is the voice of the American Jewish Committee. So you see, Martin Luther King has supposedly made all these statements supporting Zionism and attacking those who attack Zionism, but guess what? He didn't say it. Isn't that interesting, folks? There's much more to the story, but next time you hear that quote, you don't have to say you heard it from Michael Collins Piper. All you need to do is go on the internet yourself, and guess what? The source on that King quote, that information about that being a hoax. Guess what the source of it is, folks? A pro-Israel organization called Camera. If you just do a search under Google and search the term camera, just like what you take a picture with, C-A-M-E-R-A, you will find the whole story on that hoax. But how many people know it's a hoax, ladies and gentlemen? Not many. Earlier, I mentioned our friend Eustace Mullins and suggested he would be an ideal person to write an honest book review for the Washington Post. I'm pleased to tell you, folks, that in my archives, I discovered something that those of us at American Free Press have been looking for a long, long time. You know, you'll recall several years ago, there was an attempt made to put, not an attempt, but there was a successful effort to put Eustace Mullins in a nursing home against his will by some people who wanted to get him out of circulation. Well, when that happened and American Free Press heard about it, we dispatched our attorney down to Virginia, where Eustace was in a nursing home, and got Eustace sprung from the nursing home. Thank God. I doubt he'd even be alive today, knowing what nursing homes do to people. But shortly after that, Eustace's old friend, Willis Cardo, founder of Liberty Lobby in the Spotlight, said, you know, it's time we sit down with Eustace and get a really good interview with him and just let him talk about some of the events of his life and some of the people that he's known. So lo and behold, Willis and Eustace sat down, two old friends who've known each other for probably 50 years at least, 50 years or more. They sat down and taped an interview. Well, no one seemed to know where the tape was, but guess what? We do have a transcription of the tape, and it's on my computer. Now, of course, some of these nutcases who do podcasts on the internet busted up my email. Hopefully, they're not going to be able to bust into my computer, but I have the Mullins interview on my computer, and as soon as we get it into shape, we're going to have it for American Free Press, because I think it's an interview that a lot of you will find very, very interesting. It touches on some things that Eustace has mentioned here in his interviews on this network, so I know you're going to find that interesting. And as I say, I'm pleased to say that although we don't have the tape anymore, we have the transcription. When I say some work needs done on it, what I mean, folks, is that when you have two guys who've known each other for 50 years sitting down talking, they know so many things mutually and know so many people mutually that they're interrupting each other and saying, oh, yes, I remember him. Oh, yeah, 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 I remember him well. To get it ready for the paper, you got to take the uhs and ums and all that kind of stuff out. But it's one hell of an interview, folks, and we're going to get it together. All right, we're going to the turn of the half hour. More news ahead, but we will go to the callers.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Attention, friends of freedom and liberty. Our constitutional republic is under a vicious attack by the sinister forces of world globalization. The hour is late, and we must all actively engage our families, friends, and neighbors before it's too late. Now you can exercise your constitutional right of free speech with a statement t-shirt from the Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Wearing a statement t-shirt causes people to think, challenge, and debate what they've been spoon-fed by the controlled corporate media. There's no time to sit around in fear asking yourself, what can I do? Now is the time to make a strong public statement with one of the many t-shirts from Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Go to RBNLive.com's Freedom Store, NoTyranny.com. Or call 800-724-2719.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper. We do have a couple callers lined up here, and I'm going to go to them momentarily. But first, commentary on an item in the news, and then the news behind the news that has not been reported by the mainstream press. Now, many of you have heard of Deborah Lipstadt. She's always all over the news when they talk about the Holocaust. I met this unseemly woman a few years ago, and I'll tell that story on another occasion. But suffice it to say, she's the author of a book denying the Holocaust. And she is also the one who David Irving unsuccessfully sued for libel a few years ago. And, of course, they made it sound like she had sued David Irving and won, and it was hardly anything but that. But in any case, again, that's not even the news. No, this Lipstadt woman is constantly cited as the source on who's who in what we call, or what she calls, Holocaust denial. Well, you may have heard about this by now. She has written a column for the Washington Post. And unfortunately, although I have the clipping in front of me, I don't have the date, but it was this past weekend, maybe Friday. Her column in the Post was entitled, Jimmy Carter's Jewish Problem. Of course, as you know, Carter's been under attack for his book, Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid. And of course, she, like many people, says that Carter has, quote, relied on anti-Semitic stereotypes in defense. She says Carter has repeatedly fallen back, possibly unconsciously, on traditional anti-Semitic canards. She says, perhaps unused to being criticized, Carter fell back on this kind of innuendo about Jewish control of the media and government, etc., etc., etc. Well, that's not what's significant, folks. What's significant is that this so-called expert on so-called Holocaust denial, Deborah Lipstadt, says that by almost ignoring the Holocaust, Carter gives inadvertent comfort to those who deny its importance or even its historical reality, in part because it helps them deny Israel's right to exist. Then she goes on to say, Carter's minimization of the Holocaust is compounded by his recent behavior. Folks, the reason why this is significant is because she uses the term minimization of the Holocaust and accuses Jimmy Carter of this. She doesn't outright call him a Holocaust denier, folks, but in fact, that's exactly what Deborah Lipstadt is doing, because in her book, Denying the Holocaust, Deborah Lipstadt says that one aspect of Holocaust denial is minimizing the Holocaust. So former President Jimmy Carter is a Holocaust denier in the judgment of the one woman on the face of the planet who is most often cited as the authority on what Holocaust denial is. And if this doesn't tell you, if this doesn't tell you, folks, that it's time we start standing up to and stomping down the people who are promoting this legend of Holocaust denial and using it as a political club in America and around the world, what more could? Then we have the Zionist Organization of America announcing on January 16th that President Carter condones mass murder of Israeli Jews. That's a press release from the Zionist Organization of America, folks. I mean, these people are insane. These people, folks, I mean, what more do I need to tell you? It's one thing to call Mike Piper a Holocaust denier and David Duke a Holocaust denier and David Irving, but Jimmy Carter? I mean, what can you believe coming from these people? But, folks, I want to tell you something about Deborah Lipstadt that you're going to say, so what's new? I'm here to tell you that Deborah Lipstadt is a former asset, at least a former asset, and may well still be an asset for Israeli intelligence. And again, you might say, so what's new? Well, the thing is, Deborah Lipstadt has never admitted that she was an asset of the Israeli intelligence. But I want to tell you what, folks, if you look in her book, History on Trial, published in 2005, look on pages 10 to 14, Ms. Lipstadt makes it very, very clear that while she was a graduate student at Brandeis University, she was working for the Mossad, or at least some element of Israeli intelligence. Now, again, as I say, you know, you may say, well, what do you expect? You know, she writes these books, they do the work of the Mossad. But what's interesting, folks, is that Lipstadt basically, she talks about how when she was a student at Brandeis University, she was called to come to New York in a slightly James Bond fashion, she calls it. In other words, James Bond was a spy, okay? She talks about someone who was called to come to, she was asked to come to the offices of a Jewish youth organization. And she meets a young man, she says, who looked more like a bank clerk than a man, quote unquote, running a clandestine operation. Well, later, she says, I learned that this gentleman worked with the Office of Communication in the Israeli government and reported directly to the Prime Minister. Well, Ms. Lipstadt, who, you know, has passed herself off over the years as some sort of scholar, makes it very, very clear that she went into the Soviet Union on behalf of the Israeli government in some sort of clandestine operation while she was a grad student at Brandeis University. So what I'm here to tell you is that Deborah Lipstadt was the agent of a foreign government. Now, if I were an agent of a foreign government, I'd be under all sorts of investigation by God knows how many U.S. government agencies. But here was our friend Deborah Lipstadt, who just paints herself as some sort of scholarly, objective historian. Actually, she's not even a historian. She's a professor of religion. The mass media doesn't tell you that when they're getting her commentary on history and historians. This woman was a spy. This woman was an intelligence operative. I would love for Deborah Lipstadt to sue me, because then we could talk about it in court. So, Deborah Lipstadt, why don't you sue me? I am calling you an agent of a foreign government. You were working for a foreign government when you went into the Soviet Union, Deborah Lipstadt. Please, sue me. Sue me, Deborah Lipstadt. David Irving made the mistake of suing you. Deborah Lipstadt, sue me. You're a spy. You're not objective. You're a liar. You've been proven to be a liar. Willis Carto proved you were a liar when you spoke publicly in Washington, D.C., Deborah Lipstadt. You lied about Mel Mermelstein's lawsuit against Liberty Lobby in your book. And our attorney, Mark Lane, the anti-Zionist, hardline anti-Zionist Jewish attorney, wrote that Deborah Lipstadt was a liar. Ladies and gentlemen, this again is the kind of crap that we get in the mass media. A liar, a spy by the name of Deborah Lipstadt has been promoted as an objective historian by the mass media time and again. Deborah Lipstadt is a big, fat liar. She's also a spy. I look forward to being served with the papers. You may serve me at the Office of American Free Press in Washington. It's part of the public record. Go to the American Free Press website at AmericanFreePress.net. Let them know when you want me there to accept service, Deborah, because I want you to take me to court. It should be lots of fun, Debbie, because you're a liar and a spy. You're an agent of a foreign government. Now, let's go to the phones. Jim from Texas. Jim, you've been very patient. What's going on tonight?
Yeah, Mike, could you list me as a co-conspirator if she sues you? Because I'd dearly love to have her ass in court.
All right, maybe she will.
And if you would, I would like to give you a two-question pop quiz.
Okay.
Being you brought up our ancestors, our colonial patriots, so to speak, of whom was Benjamin Franklin when he was speaking to fellow delegates at the Constitutional Convention, I believe, when he said that, gentlemen, if you allow them in 200 years, your descendants will be slaves in the field, toiling for them in their banking houses, counting their money. I wonder of whom was he speaking?
Probably the Japanese.
Absolutely. Or the Guatemalans. They're well known for that. And the second question is, when George Washington warned them, that warned the whole United States that, gentlemen, we must not, under any circumstance, form any unnatural alliance with any foreign nation under any circumstance, because it skews our whole ability to remain a free and independent nation. I wonder of whom he was speaking then.
Well, I would say Australia, but Australia hadn't become a nation yet.
Yeah, so it was probably Nepal or perhaps Bangladesh. No, Bangladesh wasn't a nation.
Because Bangladesh wasn't a nation until like 71 or 74.
I'm amazed at how brilliant these our forefathers were, how they stated things 200 and something years ago, how they stated things that this is what's going to happen if you do this. And absolutely everything they stated come to pass.
You know, it's funny, Jim, you bring that up, because I just gave a friend of mine who's not really very political a copy of a videotape that was made at our American Free Press conference in Washington over Labor Day weekend. I gave it to him because I happened to be on the tape, and I thought he'd be amused to see me speaking publicly. But, you know, he didn't have any comments on what I had to say. He was very impressed with what my friend Dale Crowley had to say, and Dale was quoting George Washington's farewell address, the very farewell address that you were commenting on. And this is a friend of mine who has multiple degrees, speaks multiple languages, has a law degree, has been in military intelligence, and yet, you know, in all his studies,
he don't get it.
He had never heard of George Washington's farewell address. And this is one of the best educated people that I know.
Well, you have to be a weirdo like me to ever look into this stuff. I've known it for years and years and years, but then, you know, hey, I'm a weirdo. So
well, you know, it takes all kinds to make the world go round. What can I say?
Well, anyway, you passed the pop quiz, although you didn't get Ecuador right.
Yeah, that's true enough. And, of course, Ecuador wasn't even founded as a country until, I think, maybe the 1870s, so you have to forgive me for that.
Something in the 1850, 60, somewhere in there.
Okay, well, I'm about two decades off, but I suppose those are two decades that most Americans wouldn't know anyway.
most Americans wouldn't know what time of day it is, but that's we both know that. So
yeah, well, you
and
know,
by the way, I'm glad I listened tonight instead of watching Bush. I watched a little bit inadvertently. I got the TV on, but I'm not really watching. And I watched all of them come in and with their posing and their shaking hands and Condoleezza Rice and that. And it just makes you sick. It makes you sick. That's why I don't watch it, because it makes me sick.
Yeah, well, you know, like I always say, for years, I really have not been able to watch George W. Bush on television. I do always read his actual speeches after the fact, and of course I know that he didn't write them in the first place, but you know, it is important to know what the president said. But you know, it's really scary, Jim, when it comes right down to it. You know, here in the Washington Post and, you know, in the New York Times and some of the big newspapers around the country, they will run complete transcripts of what the president said. But you know, most of the papers around this country really don't. You know, Americans only get little bits and pieces of what the president actually said, unless they actually watch him on television, you know, and maybe a lot of people watch him because there's nothing else on television. But, you know, I guess we can say thank God for cable now, because
you don't really have to listen to him, Mike. All you got to do is go to the speechwriters, go to Tel Aviv and see what the speechwriters say, the actual ones that write the speech say, and you can find out the whole situation right there.
Well, you know, the sorry thing is, Jim, you're not exaggerating when you say that. You know, that's it. You're not. I mean,
I'm understating.
You are understating it. That's exactly right. When Bush gave his State of the Union address, 2000. I guess it was right after he got reelected, his State of the Union address. He consulted heavily with Natan Sharansky, who I was talking about earlier. He
Absolutely.
Consulted with all of these other guys who are tied in very heavily with the Likud in Israel, with Netanyahu and Sharon.
Sharansky, this brilliant Soviet communist who all of a sudden seen the light, something like David Horowitz. These people are always seeing the light, and all of a sudden everything they say is gospel when they spent the first 50 years of their life, so to speak, being a hardcore Jewish communist, and all of a sudden they differ in their opinion slightly, only slightly they differ in their opinion. They say, well, maybe the communists weren't altogether too good, but they were nice people, and we wouldn't want to put them on trial for murdering 60 million white Christians in Russia, but they weren't, you know, they weren't bad folks. They were just, they were well-meaning, but they were misconstrued in what they said.
Well, as I always say, they retool their rhetoric and they even retool their philosophy, but you know, what's the old saying? The leopard cannot change his spots.
Absolutely.
All right, Jim.
Mike, I would appreciate it if you would go back into more of what our founding fathers had to say, because there's so many of those people that were absolutely brilliant.
Oh, absolutely,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And they laid it on the line. They stated exactly what it was. And of course, nobody knows it nowadays, and you'll never see it in the major media. But, I mean, these people were absolutely, for their time, absolutely brilliant.
Well, so, you know, the funny thing is, the way they're teaching history today, our founding fathers don't exist.
No, well, they're a bunch of slave-owning neo-Nazi bigots who wanted to kill 6 million Jews.
More or less.
More or less. So, okay, Mike. Nice.
All right, Jim. Thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. All right, we've got another caller in Texas. Gene, come on up. What's going on?
Yeah, I think she was definitely not an asset, but she definitely was the first three letters of that word.
You're referring to Deborah Lipstadt.
Exactly. And I think it's very appropriate that she writes for the Washington Compost.
Well, this actually, I don't know if this was actually for the Post itself. It's not really clear, but you know, this woman, you know, she is constantly hauled up before the press as the authority on everything, you know, and And what she is, she is a propagandist. She's an agent for, she was at least at one time an agent for a foreign government. And why don't they put that when they write about her? They
well,
don't put that.
She has a degree in religion. Yes, she thinks she has a degree in everything.
That's exactly right.
Just like these talk show people, they have a degree in communications, maybe radio, television. But when they get in that seat and they get that microphone in front of them and they say you're on the air, they think they have a degree in everything also. And they think their opinion is fact. And you know what I'm talking about, all the major talk show people on radio and television.
Well, you know, my favorite story, and they actually reported this in the Washington Times, is one Friday night, there was one of the TV chat shows was looking for commentators on some public issue, and they couldn't find anybody because everybody they were calling to come on and comment was taking that Friday off because it was a Jewish holiday. And that's absolutely true. That was reported in the Washington Times. It was one Friday night. There was some big news event that happened, and they needed commentators, but none were available. All were taking the Jewish holiday off.
Well, Sean Hannity has his headquarters at the Rockefeller Center, doesn't he? Sure does.
Well, if he doesn't, he deserves to.
Yeah, well, they threw him a big anniversary party there at the Rockefeller Center in New York City, not too long ago.
They take good care of their front men.
Yeah, can I
all
stay
right,
on
Gene.
Just a little while?
Thanks for your call,
Gene.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now.
Check, please. You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here. We're wrapping up this hour. You know, tomorrow morning when you read the newspaper and you read about what George Bush had to say, you're going to have a hell of a headache. I know that. So you know what to do. You turn to Headache Stay Gone. Take a couple of those capsules. You know, you should take them regularly, particularly if you do have problems with headaches. But you take a couple of those capsules, and you're going to find that they work. And if you don't have Headache Stay Gone capsules to turn to, then you better get some. Give them a call at 800-327-0727. Get a free bottle. That is, they'll send it to you for free, and if it works, you pay them for it. Otherwise, send it back. That's a pretty good offer. All right, our final caller for the evening, Mike from Maryland. Mike, come on up.
Hey, thank you very much. I got the president's speech on mute right now, and it's not very and it's not very reassuring, because when the camera gives a straight-on shot, he's flanked on either side of reliefs of the fascies, which is the symbol for fascism. So it's not very reassuring, you know, when my Celtic or Gallic ancestors in France were conquered by the Romans, the Roman centurions would march in with the fasces with a bundle of sticks wrapped around an axe, and the symbol of that was, if we can't beat you into submission with these sticks, then we'll chop your head off, you know. But our founding fathers, maybe they were geniuses, but more so than that, they're well-educated. They knew human nature, and they knew history, and they knew that if we couldn't temper or mollify our baser instincts, then we were doomed to repeat the mistakes of history in the past. But I was listening to Jack McGlam the other day, and he always has a good show, but he said he had something that was so funny I almost fell off my seat. A radio talk show host in Chicago asked this question to their listeners: what should we do about this horrible terrorist, Barack Obama? You know, what should we do? Do about him? And this is in Chicago now. The people were calling in saying they had to take that dirty terrorist and hunt him down and kill him like a dirty dog, you know.
Okay, I mean, you know, really, this is what we've come up to in this country.
But, you know, but here Barack Obama has now been a senator for 2 years. And,
in Illinois, no less. Exactly.
And I don't know. It just floored me when I heard.
Well,
that.
It always amazes me how really ignorant most people are. You know, I mean, it's sad to say. Otherwise, seemingly intelligent people are really ignorant of our history. And I'm talking about even people of an older age. I mean, but, you know, and part of that is that, you know, people do have to spend their lives not reading history books, but making a living, you know. And but at the same time, you know, many of these people who are expressing opinions about things and going out and voting, they really don't have the information they need. That's why they need to listen to independent networks like RBN, you know. I mean, it's that's why the alternative media, so-called, is so important.
Well, that's why I got a subscription to American Free Press. I may get one to my hopelessly liberal journalist brother, you know, who's under the mistaken notion that we have a free press.
Well, you know, we don't, and I'll tell you what, we're running out of time here. So, Mike, have a good evening. Stay tuned, everybody. Check us out tomorrow night.